1 John is a very personal letter. It's a very warm letter. It is the apostle of love at the end of his life writing to his congregations. It's a devotional letter of someone who walked with Jesus. And John did not only do that in the 3 years that he walked over this world with Jesus as his rabbi. But John is someone who walked with Jesus throughout his journey after. John was not what he was. He was a fiery young man when he walked with Jesus. He was a son of thunder. But he didn't remain that way. You never remain the same when you walk with Jesus. And so from the son of thunder, he became an apostle of love. And you notice that as you read through his letters, you don't feel John's heartbeat, I hope. You feel another one. You feel Jesus' heartbeat in John. And as he begins his epistle, he writes that way. He says, brethren, that which from the beginning we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled the word of life. He's touched him. He has seen him. And John writes in his gospel, we saw in him the glory of God the Father, full of grace, full of truth. Oh, congregation, is this one prayer you pray for me this morning? That I may show you something of the glory of God the Father in him, who John preached and spoke about. And John's aim in this writing is various, but one of his aims is that you and I would feel, as Thomas Guten says, the preacher's job is to take your hand and to seek to lay it on the heart of Jesus, to make you feel the heartbeat of his love, even to enemies. And yeah, that is the task, isn't it? We'll do that this morning briefly from the 3rd chapter, verse 1. Let's read that statement. John writes, behold. And it's remarkable that we find the word behold there, right? Behold. It is a special verse. What manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Just want to stop there, because that's all we have time for this morning. And tonight we'll pick verse 2 and 3 up as we finish Philippians 3, which really beautifully merges together. So let's think about the Father's love this morning, and two thoughts. The object, John says, what manner of love he bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons or the daughters of God. Secondly, let's look at the manner. Behold, what manner of love, what is this love that he bestowed upon us? Love bestowed upon us, that we should be called the Son of God. Us. I want to pause there first. Because this supper is going to be so much sweeter when you and I pause for a moment to think about us. That he bestowed his love upon us. What were we when he bestowed his love upon us? That's good to stop there for a moment. We were not loving, nor lovely, nor lovable. Our hearts were definitely like what chapter 2, verse 15 and 16 says, love not the world. Ah, we did love the world, didn't we? Neither the things in the world, and if any man loved the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That's what we were like. We were not loving the Father. We were loving the world, let's be honest. When there is no grace in our heart, that's what we are. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, that's what we were. Detestable, isn't it? Creatures made to the glory of God who commit idolatry with the golden calves they made instead of the God who made them. We worship ourselves at that stage. We were pleasing ourselves at that stage. We were living for ourselves. We even used God to feel a little better. Because sure, our conscience at times bothered us, so we do some religious stuff to keep that somewhat tidy. That's all shallow. It was all self-centered. Behold, what manner of love the Father bestowed upon us, that we should be called. If we were not called, it says we should be called. And that's if we weren't called sons of God. We were fallen rebels indeed. We were breaking God's law and offending Him. And neither one of those kept us awake at night. Did it? Not then. Maybe later. But not then. Then when? When He loved us. When He loved us. While we were yet sinners. That's when He loved us. Already. While we were yet enemies. He loved us already. And while in that condition, the Father set His love upon us. Notice, the word set. That was nothing in us that stirred His love. Oh, what a lovely creature that is. Oh, what a lovely devoted human that is. No, none of that. He set His love upon us despite what we made Him feel. Angry. Offended. Dishonored. Disowned. Disowned. We disowned Him. And He set His love upon us. Amazing. He loved us so much. As John later on says in this chapter, hereby we perceive the love of God, because He laid down His life for us. When did He do that? For us. When we were still enemies, Romans 5 tells us. He adopted us while we lived in sin, while we loved sin, while we even laughed about sin. Then He adopted us and set His love upon us. Oh, I can see where John gets lost in this letter. Oh, what manner of love the Father bestowed upon us. He also was like that one time. We don't know much about John's previous history. But we know he was like us all. And that's why John says, therefore the world loveth, the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Yeah, the us are no more like that, of course. That's why the world doesn't know or doesn't understand who we are, if we are Christians indeed. They think we're kind of strange people. We're kind of foolish people, not pursuing the things that are really fun and really beautiful and joyful. They don't understand us. We think we're strangers when we pursue those things of God and we complain. Yes, they don't understand it at all. They complain. Or they hear us complain about being such a great sinner. while when they look at us, they say, well, you are not a great sinner at all. They don't understand that. They don't understand where we're coming from when we share intimately what the Apostle Paul wrote about in Romans chapter 7. They find it odd to hear a sigh, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. They don't understand how a man like Thomas Goodwin, when he lies on his deathbed, having been such an eminent instrument in the hand of God, and when they ask him, Pastor Goodwin, how will you meet God? And he answered him, no different than as the publican standing in a temple. They don't understand that. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. They don't understand that. The world knoweth us not because it knew him not. They don't understand Jesus either. They didn't understand his mission. They didn't understand his glory. They didn't understand his message. They didn't get it. So they don't get it when they see the sons and daughters of God. They don't understand how sin has lost its appeal to us. And why are we no more like this? Well, let me just highlight that from verse 20 in chapter 2. Paul says, but ye have an unction. You have an anointing. You became that because of the Holy Ghost who is on you. And in verse 27 again, but the anointing which you have received of him that abideth in you. And that is the Holy Spirit. That makes us who we are, children of God. Also keeps us who we are. And that's what Jesus wants to remind us of this morning. When we do this morning in remembrance of him, and that's why I took my first point as I did this morning on this us, we would do it well when we do it through the lens of Genesis 6 verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Do this in remembrance of me. Do it through that lens, will you? What God saw in us. It's nothing but sin. Don't forget that being a sinner is not just a mistake. It's not just a weakness. It's rebellion. It's ugly. It's offensive. Breaking God's law is offending the Holy One. That's no little thing. It's dishonoring the majesty. The majesty of love is despising and abusing a good God. It's the idolatry and the worship of the rival of God. Sin is serious business, right? You know why? How do I know that? Do this in remembrance of me. A serious business. When God has to take his own son. Tear him apart. From himself. And forsake him. Sin is serious business. And we are only going to appreciate this unbelievable display of love when we learn to taste the deep offense of sin. That's why on the Passover meal there wasn't only a lamb. And there wasn't just sweet applesauce. There were bitter herbs along with that meal. Besides the lamb, the bitter herbs. You feel it this morning? And now let's go to our second thought. Behold what manner of love the Father bestowed upon us. This act of love, friends, that he bestowed upon us came with a very high cost. No, our text doesn't really say much about that, but let me draw your thoughts for a moment to this manner of love. And there's all kinds of things we can say about God's love, isn't it? His eternal, infinite love. It's so one-sided. It's so immeasurable. It's so mind-boggling. Free. But let me focus this morning on Jesus. The manner of his love is Jesus Christ, the person whom he sent to this world. The manner of this love is that the Father gave his only begotten Son to die on the cross of Calvary. Indeed, the world doesn't understand a Christian, but what motivates him, how much less will we understand the Father who gave his Son, Jesus Christ. It is beyond us, isn't it? And John doesn't try to explain it. He only says, what manner of love is this? That he bestowed such love upon us that he gave his only begotten Son. The word manner in the Greek refers to the kind or the degree, or even it could be the choice. And all of those really are true, aren't they? The choice. Where he looked on that he loved us and he called us sons and daughters and adopted us into his family. And made us co-heirs with his own Son, Jesus Christ. And has prepared and is preparing a place for us. In the heavenly mansion as the holding place until he comes back to finish the work in restoring the universe to be a home forever. Yeah. What manner of love is this? That Lord thou would have bestowed that on me. That manner of love that he gives us the privilege to call him our Father in heaven. That I may say, Father, my Father in heaven. And the only way that I could say that is because he denied his Son his fatherly nearness when he cast him over in hell for me, for us. For us. What manner of love the Father bestowed upon us. A prince could manifest no higher love for a wandering, ragged, vicious orphan boy found in the street than by adopting him into his own family. And admitting him to the same privileges and honors as his own sons. And yet, this adopting of the prince of this vicious and ragged and wandering orphan is a trifle compared with the honor that God has bestowed on us. We be called the sons of God. At the cost of the Father's staggering love. I will not even attempt tonight, today, to say anything about it. We're going to read it together at the table. We're going to walk through Isaiah 53 together. But just read that chapter about the cost of the love of God to prepare you this feast here and to assure us a feast hereafter. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. He spared him not anything of shame and pain and humiliation and dishonor and offense. And he lets him descend into the very horror of hell for sins that we did. And as Jesus displays this morning in the broken bread and the shed wine, his sacrifice, remember him as he went into Gethsemane. And it stood before him that he was going to be clothed with all the ragged, vicious, horrific sins that you and I did. He made him sin for us who knew no sin. There he stands, there he walks, there he hangs. See him? Loaded with the sin of fornication. His pure heart never did that. But ours did. Loaded with the sins of evil thoughts. Never came in his imagination single evil thoughts. But ours do continually. There he hangs, covered with the sins of complaining. He never complained. We do in our luxury, in our health. There he hangs and all the sins, you know, not only the terrible, gross sins, but also these respectable sins, unthankfulness, pride, dishonesty. And as his son cries in Gethsemane, Father, Father, if it be possible, let this cup be spared to me. Oh, behold what manner of love the Father bestowed upon us, that he did not answer that request, but handed him the cup to take, filled with the wrath of God for all our sins. Why? Because of the manner of love he had for us. Amen.